Looking forward to that. Can those guys sing too? That same song? Amen. Tonight? Okay. Be here tonight. They're going to do that song again. Amen. Order of the Court, man. We got to hear that again. Almost made them do it again right then. Verse number 1, John chapter 21. We're going to read through the first part of verse number 7. And notice that we're finishing the Gospel of John. We just in Sunday school talked about finishing the Old Testament wisdom book of Ecclesiastes. We have a few more lessons in that book that we'll be finishing. We've been going through the Gospel of John. And so now we're closing out this book. And I've been praying, asking God for leadership. I've gotten a few suggestions from God's people. And I promise you that I added that to the list as I've prayed for where God would have us to study. But I really don't have any doubt what God would have us to do next. And so after we finish the Gospel of John, we're going to go backward just a little bit, and we're going to go through the book of Luke. And so we're going to do that together. After we finish John, we're going to go through Luke. And I look forward to that. I really believe that on purpose, God is selecting the book of Luke because he has something for Western Hills Baptist Church from that great study. And so you can pray with us about that as we approach that, finishing John here in the next few weeks, and then heading into the Gospel of Luke. But not yet. Verse number 1, chapter 21, the Bible says this. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. I think it should be noted here, two times in this verse, John tells us, really God tells us, that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. He revealed himself. He was there. The problem was they didn't recognize him when they saw him. Look at verse 2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. So there were seven disciples there. Simon Peter saith to them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He saith to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore now, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And now verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, saith to Peter, it is the Lord. And it's interesting that it took that miracle before they realized that they were talking to Jesus. He was there, but they didn't recognize him. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Sometimes he's there, but we don't recognize him. That's a problem. So let's ask God for his help this morning. Father, we need you. Just like the disciples in this time, as we see really an analogy, a kind of a picture of what we are spiritually often. You're there. You're always there. You say that you'll never leave us. You say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of thy life. But yet sometimes we feel like you're not there. We don't recognize you in our life. So I pray for your touch this morning. I pray that you'd go before us and speak to hearts. Lord, there are those that are here that just like Brother Richard's testimony, you're knocking on their heart's door. You're pressing them and they need to hear from you again today. And so I pray for your grace. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. There are times when in life things change. We transform. Really, when I was in seventh grade, going into the eighth grade, that summer, those few months, I physically changed a lot. I grew a little, not a lot, as you can tell, but I grew some. I thinned out, you know, like the teens say, I chiseled out a little bit. Mostly, I was just hungry all the time, but I grew a little mustache. I didn't do that on purpose, you know. And then I went back to school the following semester, and I had changed so much in the summer that there were kids that I hadn't seen all summer that did not recognize me. And they were saying, hey, who's the new kid? What do you mean the new kid? Like, we hung out last year. We were friends. And you don't recognize me? Oh, it's you. You look different, you know. And so there's those changes that happen. And that happens really to all of us, right? We have people, we hadn't seen them for a long time, and then people grow, they get taller, they get bigger. Anyway, they just change, and sometimes it's the other way. But we see them again, we hadn't seen them for a long time, and it takes us like a second look. Oh, it's you. I didn't recognize you. You know, just as we said a minute ago, as that is true in our life, that can be true with God. In this sense, that we can be away from God for so long that when we come back into His presence and He begins to speak like the kids sang about, and we hear the voice and it's God's voice, but we're not recognizing it. We don't feel it. We don't see it. And we miss the work of God as God is trying to work and He's trying to show us His path and what He wants to do in our life. But we've been so far from Him. We've been so far away. As a matter of fact, we get so far and we're living our life and we're doing what we do and we don't acknowledge God and we don't talk to Him and we don't seek Him, so that we, in this life, we get to that place where we say something like this: I need God back in my life. I need God. And when you need God in your life, where do you go? You go to the Word of God. And you open it, and it's been on the shelf and it has dust on it because you haven't opened it in a long time. But you need God, so you put it on the table and you open it and you try to seek Him, but you're not recognizing His voice. And the words in the book are just words. It's like intellectual and it can't penetrate to the heart. And you want to hear from God, and so you pray and you say, Lord, I need to hear from You. I need to see You. I need Your touch. I need Your grace. I need Your help. I'm struggling and I'm suffering and I feel alone and I feel empty in this life. And He's there, but you don't recognize Him, and you don't see Him, and you can't hear Him. And so you get to that place where you're thinking, I need God, and so you say, I'm going to church today. And now here you are. You need to hear from God, and so you came. Because you know when you get to church, or at least you're supposed to hear from God when you get to church. And we open His Word, and we begin to declare His Word, and you hear the voice of the preacher, and you're searching, and you're listening, and you're wondering, am I going to hear from God today? The disciples, they had been through a roller coaster. I mean, they had just seen a little while ago the triumphal entry of Jesus. And if you're not familiar with the triumphal entry of Jesus, this is when the palm leaves are being laid down and Jesus is on the back of a donkey and He's making His way into Jerusalem as to say, I am the King who will not conquer, but who will bring peace. Bring peace to God's people. Bring peace to Israel. The war will be over. And the disciples of Jesus thought, this is it. This is the moment. This is whenever it all comes together. This is what we've been waiting for. Jesus is going to come into this, into the temple. He's going to take over the city and He's going to overthrow the Roman government. And we're going to have God rule and reign. And they were excited. I mean, they were saying, Hosanna, the King in the highest. But then just a few short days later, Judas betrays Jesus. Imagine the shock when Judas, your own friend, shows up on the scene with soldiers, kisses Jesus, and now he's under arrest. The Bible says, no. The Bible doesn't say that just Peter denied. Peter did deny. But the Bible literally says that when Peter denied, that all the disciples denied. And they all ran away. And so now we have the disciples who were on the mountaintop, and now they're as low as it can be, as they're watching their Savior, the Messiah, the King who was supposed to enter and to overthrow the rule of the Romans and the rule of mankind and become God the King again. And now He's on the cross and He's dying, and they would have been overwhelmed and overcome with confusion, so that after the death of Jesus, they're in the upper room and they're just waiting there and they're contemplating, what will we do? How will we navigate this? Will we just go our separate ways? Will we try to continue on with the mission of Jesus now that He's gone? They would have been overwhelmed. And then the Bible says that Jesus showed up. I mean, in chapter 20, He was there. The Bible says they're in a locked room and then Jesus is in their presence. He reveals Himself to them. And He says, oh, no, this isn't over. It's just beginning. And so there would have been a glory of the Lord. There would have been a kind of joy and gladness that overcame them. But it would have been mixed with confusion. It would have been mixed with doubt. So now we have the disciples who are waiting, and Jesus has not been there. And they decide, in the midst of all of the turmoil emotionally that they would have been dealing with, and also, let's not forget, the turmoil the fear of the government coming against them like they came against Jesus. Peter says, well, I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm going to go fishing. You know what's amazing in our text? The Bible says that when Peter announced that he was going to go fishing, he was going to go back to what he knew to do, that it was then that all the other disciples said, we're going to go back too. Yes. So Peter would have been maybe not, and it would have been this way all the time, but he certainly was the leader of the disciples, at least in this moment. So that when Peter said, I'm going to do this, that there were people that came along. This, by the way, ought to touch us, because each and every one of you has an influence in somebody else. And you need to remember that when you make a decision, you're not just affecting you. You're not just doing what you're doing, and it doesn't just affect you. It affects the people that are in your circle. Like, well, I don't have any influence. You have far more influence than you realize. And so if you decide that you're going to go back to what you used to be, and you're going to go back and you're going to become what you used to be, that you would decide that you would go ahead and recognize that you're not going back to what you used to be alone. You're going to take people along with you. Peter certainly did that. Not that it would have been against the law to go fishing. But God called them to be fishers of men, not to be fishermen. And so Peter says, I'm going back. And there were those that went along with him. And he led others away. Now I want you to note that in the passage, take a look at it with me, verse number 3, Simon Peter saith to them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. That's the influence. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Look what it says next. And that night, they caught, you say it, what's the last word?
Nothing.
Nothing. You know what you can do without God?
Nothing.
Say it again.
Nothing.
That's what you can do without God.
Amen.
And this is a reminder of it. You go back into the world, you go back into what you used to be, you can do that and God will let you. But I promise you, what you'll find out there is a big fat nothing. And you thought you would find something, but you won't, you didn't, and you won't, and you'll never. And so we have Peter, and we have these 7 disciples, and they would have been emotionally struggling. They would have wondered, what's next for us, and what do we do now? Although Jesus had just told them, I want you to go, and I want you to be a missionary for me. But they went back fishing, and they caught nothing. In a picture of what life is without Jesus. And then watch this, Jesus showed up. Because by the way, when you get away from God and you go back and you do things your way and you'll find that there's nothing in life. I wasn't going to come down here. I was asking the Lord to help me not to do this. I get distracted when I get down here. But we have to. Here we are, you know. So we get out there and we're doing our own thing and we're doing it our way. And we're going to find nothing out there. Here's what happens is we think that we're going to find something out there and we leave and we go back. But you know who you're bringing along with you? Not just those influence and the others who are coming back and going into the world with you. But Jesus never left you. Jesus never left you alone and he'll never leave you alone. So you go back into the world, you're taking Jesus with you. And all the time he's tracking along with you. And here's what he's saying, you don't belong here. He's saying, this isn't what you are. This isn't what I called you to be. This isn't what I want you to do with your life. No, no, no. You're going back and you're doing something that I've not meant for you to be. And there's a press. There's a prick. There's a touch from God. And all the time you're going this way and you're doing what God wants, or rather what you want to do. And you're getting away from God and God's pressing and he's touching. By the way, he's there. He's speaking and he's there all the time. But you know what? We get so far away from God and that his presence is evident in the sense that he never left us, but we don't recognize him. We become blinded, which, by the way, is a biblical principle that we would be saved, knowing God is our Savior, on the right path, in the sense that we have salvation and His Spirit in us, but then we don't recognize His presence. You're like, how can that happen when you're saved? Well, because what ends up happening is our eyes become dim. The light of God's leadership becomes dark in our life, so that we can't see where we are and we can't see where it's taking us. And even as Peter said, and God willing, we'll get to the place where we're studying through this epistle in Peter, where Peter said this, that you can even forget that you were purged from your old sins. And you'll start wondering if you're saved at all.
Yep.
And God's there all the time, but you don't recognize him. That would have been the disciples. Jesus shows up on the scene. He's on the shore. The disciples had been fishing for fish. They knew these are fishermen by trade. They had done this for years. It wasn't uncommon for fishermen to fish all night. That was a thing that they did. The fish would have bitten more in the evening than in the day. But here was something that was uncommon, that they would catch nothing. And so Jesus on the shore, they had fished all night in frustration, having no fish, finding nothing. And Jesus yells to them. And by the way, them not recognizing that it's Jesus on the shore, yelling to them, "Have you caught anything?" That's what it says. Look at it with me. Verse number 5. He didn't say anything. He said any meat. "Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat?" So the implication there is, if you caught any fish, did you catch any meat? The word "any" is an interesting word if you study it out in the Greek language. It is the Greek word metis. It's two words, really, a prefix and a root word. And that section of the word "me," it implies, and we're talking about any, when Jesus said, "Have you caught any meat?" or "Have ye any meat?" That word "any" would imply negative. It would have been like, "Now, you didn't catch anything, did you?" It's a question, but it means you probably didn't catch anything. By the way, Jesus would have known that they didn't catch anything because it's Jesus. So when Jesus asked, "Did you catch any meat?" he knew the answer was no. And so when they announced, "No, we didn't catch anything," they would have known that. Or rather, Jesus would have known that. Then Jesus says this to them, in his grace, by the way, "Why don't you cast on the other side, on the right side?" Now, this kind of a reference back to when Jesus called his disciples and they were fishing and catching nothing. And Jesus told them in that early time, "Cast on the other side." And they had they brought into the net so many that it was sinking the boat. And so this would have been sort of a reference back to that. But note this, it wasn't uncommon for fishermen on the shore to yell to fishermen out in the boat to cast over there. "Have you caught anything?" "No." "Well, why don't you try over there?" And so they did. But then the Bible says that it was an overload of fish again. And it was in that moment that John the Apostle says, this reminds me of something. This reminds me back in the day when Jesus said the same thing to us and we had an overwhelming abundance of fish that came into the net. By the way, a reference to what they were really called to do. Not to catch fish, but to catch men. And you want to catch men, and you need Jesus. And they needed Jesus. He wasn't in the boat with them. He was on the shore and they didn't recognize him. It was a moment when the reality of life without Jesus would have hit them. Last week we went to the Blair's for dinner. It was a good time. We had round steak and homemade cornbread and some rolls. It was amazing. And while we're there, we're telling stories. And mostly I like to hear stories. And so Brother Mike would tell a story. He started to tell a story about an old dog that he used to have. And Miss Sherry's laughing right now. But so he's telling this story about this dog that was friendly. He was nice. He was one of those nice dogs, right? We know what we're talking about. Nice. Ever been bitten by a dog that does not bite, right? So anyway, it's one of those kind of nice dogs. He's friendly, right? He was a Rottweiler. And Rottweilers are scary. Even if they're nice, just look at it. You're like, I don't think I'm going to mess with this. You know, Brother Mike got home one day and he had a hoodie on. And Rufus, the dog, Rottweiler dog, saw this intruder, this stranger with the hoodie. And he was on the inside of the house, the glass door. And Brother Mike said that he let out a blood-curdling bark that sent rip wave straight to Brother Mike's heart, I think. And then Rufus ran for the doggy door, which probably was the size of a human. Rufus on his way to the doggy door, and he's making his way as Brother Mike, as quick as he can, he's getting that hoodie off. Because he knows if he doesn't get that hoodie off, he's going to lose his life to Rufus. And Rufus is barreling around the house, and Brother Mike finally gets his hoodie off. And so that Rufus comes around the corner and sees Brother Mike, who's his dad. And he pauses and he looks at him and he sees dad. And then he looks around. Where's the stranger that was just here? Rufus is looking for the bad guy. But there was no bad guy. He just didn't recognize that his dad was there. Sometimes we get so far away from God, and we show up in His presence, and God begins to speak. Maybe we could say it this way. We show up, and then God shows up. But then when God shows up, something happens in us sometimes. We forgot what it looks like. We forgot what He sounds like. We don't recognize His voice. And so when God's trying to break through, we're scared. And we're wondering, is this a stranger? Can I trust this voice? Can I trust what I'm seeing? I don't recognize this. And God's trying to break through. God's trying to say, it's me. It's your Father. And I'm here, and I want to protect you, and I want to guide you, and I want to be with you through this. But we're not seeing Him. I told you about the dog that doesn't bite, right? So I was bitten by one of those dogs that doesn't bite. The basketball kid went into the backyard, and the kid that lived there, he said, oh, go ahead and go into the backyard. He doesn't bite. It was a husky. I should have known, but I was young. So I jumped over the fence, and I ran into the backyard, and I grabbed the basketball, and I threw it over the fence. But then, you know, Mr. Husky and me, we made eye contact. And that's when I realized, this dog is not nice. I mean, this dog is vicious and violent, and he's a killer. And I looked like a big piece of steak. So I did the worst thing you could do. I took off running, and I was probably in third or fourth grade, so I'm not fast. You know, I'm just running as fast as I can, and this dog is chasing after me. And you can imagine that I'm going about this fast, and dog's going about this fast. He's tracking me down, and I'm running for the fence. I'm thinking, do I try to jump it, like just do a full-on Superman over the fence? Or do I try to get my leg up there and flip over? And I thought, well, if I do a Superman, that probably won't go good. So I'm going to try to do the jump onto the fence, leg up, and leg other leg over. And I made it to the fence, jumped onto the pole, one leg up. He got me in the backside, right on the other leg. Amen. And my friends are on the basketball court, and they're laughing like it was funny. It was not funny. He got me. That right there is what ends up happening sometimes in believers' life when you show up to church. Amen. Listen, you know, what ends up happening is you're here and God starts working in you. What does that mean? Whoa. Listen to this. God starts working in you, meaning He jumped into your backyard. God's in your backyard right now. And what does He do when He's back there? He's like, oh yeah, this is my backyard. That's what God's saying. And you're in your backyard, and you're thinking, God, why are you in my backyard? This is my backyard. And what happens is we start getting nervous, we start getting scared about the work of God in our life, and we chase Him out of our life. We don't recognize Him. We see Him as somebody who doesn't belong. And we chase Him away. And we end up living our life out in this world, fishing for something, looking for meaning, looking for happiness, looking for joy, and never finding it, and getting so low so that you realize, I need something only God can give me. And so you come back to church, and you sit in your spot, and now you're here, and you're like the disciples. And God shows up, and He jumps into your backyard, and you start to get nervous because you don't recognize the work of God. You've been so far from Him. You don't hear His voice. He speaks, but He's not touching you. He's just making you nervous. And you start saying stuff like this, like Brother Tim in Nebraska, when he finally showed up to church, he was like, who told this guy about me? How did Pastor know that? I didn't know anything about what's going on in your life, Brother Tim. Well, he wasn't brother then. And he said, when the service was over and invitation began, I'm in to tell you, I couldn't get out of here fast enough. I couldn't get away fast enough. Why? Because you don't recognize Him. He's trying to get the hood off. He's trying to help you see It's me. It's your Father. And I love you. And I deserve you. Or rather, you deserve me because of Jesus. And I need to be in your life. And this backyard is my backyard. And I can take care of you. But because we don't recognize him, it's like we chase him away. And so then we only see him on Christmas. You know? It's like that relative. We hadn't seen him in a long time. But why? Because we don't see him but once a year. And that's if we showed up that year. And sometimes it's 2 years. And it's been 2 years and you see him again, you're like, whoa, you look way different. God's like that in our life. So we get away and we're doing our thing and we're living out there. By the way, we're finding nothing. And we come back to church and God reveals himself. And then we wonder, what's happening right now? Because we're not recognizing the Lord. And here's what God's trying to get through to you. You and I aren't close. You know, Andrew, I don't want to embarrass him. Actually, I don't mind if I embarrass him at all. But Andrew, who sang the lead on that song, he, I would say, has changed the most in the past 2 years since we've lived here. He's gotten taller and, you know, stronger. And anyway, so he's changing. But when he lives with me, these are kind of changes that I don't notice because it's every day. It's little changes every day. So for me to notice that he's changed, I have to look at a picture 2 years ago. Whoa, look at Andrew. He's totally changed. Do you know why? Because him and me are close. And I recognize the changes because I'm with him every day. I see him every day. He's not a stranger to me. He's one of my favorite people in the whole world. And that's what God needs to be in our life. Amen. All he wants to do is work in you. He wants to make you strong. He wants to fill you. You know, the world will leave you empty. As we saw in our text, it'll leave you with nothing. God wants to fill you. And all we need is to be close. And that's what we miss. How simple is that? He's not in the boat with us. He's over on the shore. Like, who is that over there on the shore? It's kind of blurry. I forgot my glasses. It's early in the morning. It's kind of dim out. And you don't recognize that it's Jesus. He's so far away from you. And he says, why don't you let me in the boat? This isn't in my notes at all. Some of this is just like, it's you're learning it as I am. You know that song with Jesus in my boat? Okay, raise your hand if you know that song, If Jesus in My Boat, like three of us. Okay. All right, here we go. With Jesus in my boat, I can smile in the storm. Psh, smile in the storm. Smile in the storm. With Jesus in my boat, I can smile in the storm. As I'm sailing on. I forgot the words. As I'm sailing on. How's it go? Sailing, sailing on. Sailing, sailing on. Brother Jeremy, come up here and help me sing this song. Oh. I saw him over there. He's like, man, is this going to end? Come on, bro. That was for you. That's what we're missing. Jesus isn't in the boat. He's not in the boat. And we don't recognize his work in our life because we're so far from him. We don't hear his voice. We don't see him. And watch this. When he finally does show up, it makes us nervous. And we chase him away.
Yep.
I don't think you belong in my backyard. You can stay on the other side of the fence and we'll enjoy each other's company that way. No, no, no. He does belong in the backyard.
Amen.
You need to invite him into your life.
Yep.
You need to say, listen, I haven't had you with me. And I haven't recognized you in my life. But I need to get you back. I need to get back on my knees. I need to get back in the book. I need to get back in church. I need to get back serving you because I don't want to live this life for this world. I don't want to live this life fishing for men, or rather fishing for fish. I want to fish for you. I want to live for you. And I want to recognize your work in my life. Let's ask God to help us with that this morning. With Jesus in my boat, smile in the storm.